the Chavim Chal Kainim and develop if we have time one of the very important yesodos of position. Probably the first complete yesod that we'll develop today. So the Gemara says on Gilamad Aleph, Omar Mar, we're going to be looking at Ebraisa. The Ebraisa explained to us the sources of the Ovois of Shein and Regal. And the Ebraisa, in order to explain to us the Pasuk, where in the Pesukim we find the Ovois of Shein and Regal, so the Gemara brought that Veshilach Zer Regal. How do we know that? Agili Milsa from a Pasuk in Yeshaya. Ashreichem Zorei Al Kol Moy Mishalchei Regel Hashor V'chamor. And Ubier is Shein Kasher Yevor HaGolol Ad Tumoy. The Gemara says, Omar Mar, top of Gilamad Aleph, Vishilach Zuhar Regel V'chein Uwemir Mishalchei Regel Hashor V'chamor. Tama Dekosev Rachmonem Mishalchei Regel Hashor V'chamor Ho Lav Hochi B'may Mukmeslo. The Gemara says, why are we bringing a raya from Yeshaya? Why don't we say svara, logically, that it has to be, v'shilach has to be regel, because what else could it be? Holav hochi mamay moik misla ikeren ksiv keren we have ki'igach and ki'igoyf and ishein ksiv ubier. So what's left? So it has to be regel. The Gemara says, "Solka daita chamina, aydi va'aydi yashen. If I wouldn't have the proof text of Veshilach Mishalchei Regel Hashor v'chamor, then I would take the of Shein, and I would say there are two kinds of Shein. Solka daita chamina, aydi va'aydi yashen." The shilach ubir both are in shame. Ha de machalia karna, ha de loy machalia karna. Possibly because the hezek of shame is much more expected than the hezek of regel. Animals go around grazing and eating. And I don't watch my animals in chumash breishes. It was always the machlekes between the roye Avram and the roye Lot was about grazing, the hezek of grazing. So the hezek of grazing is a much more common phenomenon that the Baal has to be concerned about. So I would have said there are different kinds of grazing. There are different kinds of pasturing. There are different kinds of hezek. There's the hezek of machal yekarna and the hezek of loy machal yekarna. Hezek where we entirely destroy the nizek's property, and the other is where we damage the Nizek's property. And we would say there has to be an of for destroying property and an of for damaging property. So the Gemara says, that's what I would have thought. Kumash Malon, therefore the Tana says that Mishalchei Regel Ashor V'chamor, that Shein includes both damaging and destroying, and the Mishilach is a different of, the of of Regel. Gemara says, that once you've opened up the Pandora's box, that is a logical distinction between damaging and destroying. So then the Gemara says, "V'hashda oikimna aregel shein deloy machal yekarna manolon." The Gemara says you can't have it both ways. You can't say that the Tana has to bring a raya. And without that raya, I would say that the of is an of destroying, and I wouldn't know damaging. And then say, all right, Mishalchei regel, hashor v'chamor. Gemara says, but you've raised a logical ha'ora now. You have a logical observation now that if the Torah, that I need a limud to tell me that damaging is also a chayv ezek. So if the logic, if the svar is strong enough to say that I would have had, I would have split the of into two, would I not have had a pasuk? So now I have a pasuk. So now I should still split the yov into two. The Gemara says, I have a hekesh. En achanami. The ha'ora is a good ha'ora. The Gemara says, Dumya de regel, mar regel, loishna machal yakarna, ma loishna loy machal yakarna. Avshain, loishna machal yakarna, ma loishna loy machal yakarna. So regel, we don't make that distinction between damaging and destroying. Then we have to explain a little bit sharper. So Rashi's explanation of the sugya is that the distinction between destroying and damaging, what would give rise to that distinction? Why is there a basis for that logical distinction? Why do I need a pasuk? Why do you need a hekesh? Why do I say the legabe regel? I don't make this distinction between damaging and destroying. So what does Rashi point out? I'm learning Shane from Ubi'er. Ubi'er means to destroy, not to damage. Doesn't say va'achal, doesn't say he nibbled, doesn't say he grazed or pastured. Ubi'er means he destroyed. So the way Rashi explains the sugya is that if I'm going to learn the of Shane from Ubi'er, then I have to be honest and say, that means to destroy. So where does the Torah tell me that there is an included in the ov of Shein is damaging as well? So Gemara says that enachanami, lu yetzuyer, I would only have ubiyer, I might say it means to destroy. And I would, there would be room to say that vishilach is picking up what was left out by calling Shane Ubier. However, since I have a post Mishalchei Regel, so I know that Mishilech is Regel. So now the Gemara is a Gavaldik Akasha. So now you've taken a position that Ubier is destroying, and if it doesn't include damaging, so now you have to, now you should patter up the person from damaging. And you should say, destroying is the of, damaging, who knows, either we'll patter him up, or we'll chalk it up to some other of, possibly. Or we'll say that you have to watch your own crops from being damaged. So the Gemara says, but once we learn regel from Mishilach. So that means in the of a regel, we're not machalik between damaging and destroying. So we'll make a hekesh back to the of Shein. And that there also we will not distinguish between damaging and destroying. All right? That's the sugya. Hayoytze, what comes out of the sugya, that the Torah requires a hekesh to teach me that the of Shein includes damaging the crops and not just destroying the crops. The Gemara has a havamin, would I not have a special pasuk, then I would limit hezek to destroying. So the question we have to understand that the sugya raises is mehechatesa. You can say it in one of two ways. You can say it either, what is the basis for ever making a distinction between damaging and destroying? What does it matter? You go to court. So would anybody, I'm suing you for damages. So could the defendant say, sorry, I didn't really destroy your property, I just damaged your property. So mehechatesa, that is a svara that has to even be countenanced by, that's one way of asking the kasha. The other way of asking the kasha is the brisker mahalach, to say, hey yois, that the Torah says there is a distinction between damaging and destroying. Hey yois, that the Torah says that I need a pasuk to teach me that hezek includes damaging and not just destroying. So that therefore, one of the assumptions in the parsha of Hezek is that there are grounds to make a distinction between damaging and destroying. So what is the understanding that I'm supposed to have in the parsha of Hezek that I'm missing? But the brisker mahalach is to identify, once you define the shitas and the sugyas, so then what assumptions have been made? And that's why the halach is always mukhrach. So there's an assumption that we're missing over here. There's something in the parashat Hezek that should justify a distinction between destroying property or damaging property. So if we don't understand, that means if we don't understand that distinction, if we don't understand why it would make sense for a person to come to court and say, the Torah says ubiyer, I'm not a biyer, I'm a mazik. And the Torah has to say, the judges say, no, there was a hekesh. So we don't understand the distinction, we don't understand a yesod in hezek. All right? So that's what we have to figure out. How do we explain the distinction between damaging and destroying? Right? Machalya karna is to uproot the karen, the object itself. The object is no longer there. As opposed to loy machalya karna, the object is there, but it's not the way it used to be. All right? The difference between damaging a car and totaling a car. L'chayra, that would be a similar distinction. Right? Not Pasha, but L'chayra. So Rashi says, Aydi va'aydi. Rashi, when he explains, Mechalya le'mechalya. So Rashi explains, what is an example of loy mechalya karna? Kigoin she'ochla aruga v'soifo y'lachzer v'letzvayach. It'll never be the same. Ubier haynu heichu de mechal yekarna de mashma ubier shemivayer legamre. Rashi asks a kasha, which will be important when we circle back to the sugya of ein oinshim and adin. And Rashi says, lechayre, the Torah could have just told me the din of mechal yekarna, the din of loy mechal yekarna, and I would know the din of mechal yekarna. And Rashi says, no, I wouldn't know because I'd get nailed in a technicality. I would say that the Torah is only giving me the din of Mechal Yekarna. But that will circle back when we go back to analyze Ein Oinshim and Adin. But right now, what's Mechal Yekarna? What's Lei Mechal Yekarna? According to Rashi, no?
Like destroying a bush, which will come back, even though it works.
Right, the Tosfos says there's something called shachas. What is shachas? Shachas is a technical term in all of Nezikin. No? Correct. In other words, the way that many, not many crops, probably the wheat crop was grown, is that when the wheat crop was first planted, possibly around this time of year, right? That's the Rashi in Parshas Noach. That this is the time of year, right after Sukkot, is when they planted one of the wheat crops, and that's why the initial rains right now are very important. That's why if Mar Cheshvan goes by and there's not enough rain, that's a big problem. And if Mar Cheshvan gets good rain, then we don't need the rain after later on in the season. But that is the wheat crops that are put in right now, and then there are crops that are put in later on towards the end of the winter season, and they grow much faster. But the slow-growing crops have to go in now. The fast crops go in later on in the season, apparently. So so there was a common practice that the wheat was cut down once it hit a third of its growth, and that was called shachas. Because they figured out that they could get two crops out of their wheat crop. If they would cut it down after it was a third grown, then they could use that small amount of growth. They could use it, I think, as animal feed. And then it would grow again till it's almost till its full height. But that was one of the most productive ways of handling the crop was to do a shachas harvest after the first third, and then to let it regrow. So Tosfos says Rashi is referring to the loss of the shachas. Peirush HaKuntres, shachas she'osin litzmayach. That's loy mechal yekarna, avoloy kedchila. Was Rashi saying that that Machalya Karno is that when Raikau went in and went right to the roots. Right? It went right to the roots of the tomato plant. There's no tomato plant left anymore. So that is Machalya Karno. It's never coming back. Loi Machalya Karno is when it didn't go to the roots. It just grazed. So Taisus, that means it ate Shachas. Now, it doesn't mean it only ate Shachas, but Tosfos is saying is we have to be able to explain Rashi in the context of Shachas. So, according Tosfos says, according to Rashi, the animal goes into a wheat field and it grazes. And it walks out and leaves my crops to regrow. So Rashi says, it'll regrow. It won't be ketchila. It won't be exactly the way it was initially, but it'll regrow. All right, that's loy machal yekarn, correct? So luch oira. When I get sued for machal yekarna, what am I getting sued for? Was that? Machal yekarna. So that's you hit the nail on the head. What am I getting sued for? So Mordechai says that we figure out how much the average tomato plant brings in, al-Khaira, and I'm going to sue for what I anticipated my tomato plant to bring in. Anybody disagree with Mordechai? That is Pshat and Gemara. When you get sued for Machal Yekarna, what are you getting sued for? What happens? What do you sue? Was that?
Those are
really
the fruits. Still there.
But Machalya Karna.
Karen.
Was that?
Karen.
So what are you suing for?
The amount that
would be
at its full height.
Like
the actual
tomatoes. So that's what Mordechai said. Maybe a different suit.
It could be like the going heights of a bush, a tomato bush, whatever it is. Whatever someone would.
When the animal comes into my field, so I don't sue for groma, I don't sue for the, I don't make a cheshbon. That's a very difficult suit to say what the plant is going to bring in and how much effort am I going to put into bringing that tomato to market, and what's going to happen if we wait for the season to see if it's a rain, if it's not a rain, if it's a drought. That's a very difficult suit to bring. Right, the counter suit, the lawyer would come back and would say, "You're assuming the best possible condition. Let's wait out the season. Let's see if there's if the rain is good. Let's see if it's a good tomato season. Let's see if there's an infestation. Let's see how much work you have to put into it." So l'chayra machal yekarna, the suit is I had a property. If I would monetize the property right now, if I would sell the property right now, what would it bring in? A property of tomatoes that are in their initial growth. So that's what I'm suing for. That's the asset which I lost. Right? You destroyed my tomatoes. So what does that mean? What did you steal from me? You took from me right now. If I'd go to market, I could sell this property. Or I could lease to a sharecropper, and the sharecropper, when he makes the deal, he has to bring in all the actuaries and figure out what is the what's the going price. But there's a going price for leasing out a field to a sharecropper. So that's the hezek he caused me. Good. Now what about when the animal comes in and nibbles on my fruit, and nibbles on my wheat? So what am I suing from then? For then. Was that? Whatever. So that could be, or Lou, halacha l'maisa, what would you sue for? It's a trick question. What would you sue for? You sue for the same thing. I have a damaged property right now. What my How would my damaged property be sold? That's the problem in the sugya. Problem in the sugya is, what is the real distinction between machan and machal karna? The suit is the same suit. Taisvis asked the cash in a sharper way. Taisvis asked it in a gvaldiger way. He says that in a wheat field, what you think is loy machali karna is machali karna. That's what Beryl was saying before. You're going to tell me it's loy machali karna? The animal, when the animal grazed and my field was at a sixth of its height, a third of its height for sure, the animal stole the whole crop of mine. That's machal yekarna. I had a crop called shachas. Right now, I could have brought in a combine, cut it down. I could have monetized. It was there. When the animal came in and ate, so Rashi says, "Well, it's not going to grow back the way it grew up before." According to Rashi, I wait to the end of the season and I figure out what did the animal do to me. Last year it grew this high, the animal maybe grows this high. Half of my field is this high, half is not this high. I make a cheshvan. Taisa says, that's not correct. It's certainly not correct in every situation. There's a situation called shachas. In that situation, when the animal comes in, the animal has stolen an entire crop. Why is that not machal yekarna? Taisva says, Pershakunt Meshacha Shaosa Lismayach Avolekit Chila Vakosha to Machalia Karna Shagama Boolim Shem Yechalim Liktsor. The Baal could go in and he could harvest it right now and he'd get money for it. That's not Loi Machal, that's Machalia Karna. What's the Chiluk between destroying the tomato plant entirely and destroying an entire crop? What's the Chiluk between destroying a tomato plant and taking every single apple off my apple tree? That's not machal yekarna. You took my whole season away from me. That's not machal yekarna.
The point is that it's over lachzer, so that's not machal yekarna.
Correct. Well, so, but I'm saying it's a very difficult distinction to maintain al pi svara. The fact that my tree is still there, so what? My entire crop's not there.
Dude, it'll come back.
So it'll come back next season?
The definition of not machal yekarna is coming back.
I agree. So when it comes to Hilchos Brachos, you make it work based on Bidama. Good. When it comes to Hezek, what difference does it make? Why is there a significant difference?
It's the future value.
What's that?
It's the future value.
So the suit will be less money. I'll sue for less. If you destroy my entire tree, I'll sue for more. You take every apple tree, I'll sue for less. 100%. But in principle, what's the chiluk? Be karoshal don't. I mean, in principle and decisive. I mean, in principle, be karoshal lower, right? Okay, so again, what are we pointing out of here? The Gemara makes a distinction between machal yekarna and machal karna. Right? The way Daniel said, between whether the item is still there or whether the item is not there. Is the item somewhat recoverable? The words I used are damaging or destroying. Right? Gemara made this distinction. We know that it's a distinction of great significance. It has to be, because the Rebbeinu Shlom decided to teach me that via Hekesh, that I should not make that distinction. There's a powerful svara to make the distinction. What's the basis? If I can't understand that distinction, then I'm missing a piece of Hilchos Hezek. That's the fundamental kasha we have to. That kasha has many different nuschois. One nusach is that the nusach that Tosfos poses to Rashi. Because when Rashi explains to us the distinction between machalya le machalya, so Rashi explains it's the difference between grazing on a crop, grazing on a, not a crop, grazing on a wheat field, and uprooting the wheat field altogether. So Tosfos has the same kasha, but in a much sharper way. Teishvah says, when you graze on a crop called shachas, you are destroying the entire crop. It's ke'ilu. It's ke'ilu. You went into somebody's property and pulled off every single apple off their apple tree. So when you pull off every single apple in the apple tree, so Daniel says, it's like machal yekarna. So I would say, that's a very, by definition, you're right. But is there any real difference between cutting down the apple tree and pulling off every single apple? There's a difference in how much I owe you. 100%? But in terms of what you're suing me for, so in one case you're suing me for an entire season, and in one case you're suing me for 10 seasons. All right? In one case you're suing me for a field that's ready to be picked, so that field has 10 more years of crops till all the trees die, and this year's crop is mamash right there. So I'm going to pay a lot more for this year's crop than futures. What's going down the road, right? And Hanami? That's correct. Then a field that is post-harvest, and somebody destroyed all my trees. In one case, it'll be monetizing a property for the next 10 years or so. In one case, it's that plus this year's crop. But is that a significant distinction? So that's Tosfos Kash and Rashi. Tosfos Teretz is Yesh Loimar Shetinfa Peiros Lanosa. Tosfos Teretz says, disagree with Rashi altogether. Whenever the animal actually eats something, that's a machal yekarna case. I can't bring this apple to market, right? Once it has teeth marks, right? It becomes a grade D, right? Goes out to a different neighborhood, brings in much less. So so in those cases, Tosfos says all of those cases are mechal yekarna, because they have to be modeled as far as shachas goes. What's loy mechal yekarna? The animal releases itself on my property. Shetinfa peiros anosa. So it got hano, so it matches the parameters of shame, right? It didn't get direct hano. It got indirect hana, right? It's even less. It got hana, and my fruit happened to get damaged by its hana. So it's not that it got hana from the hezek. All right. So that the Gemara says that's going to be part. That's part of the. That's a told of shame. It was mazik while it was getting hana. All right. So the Gemara, the Tosfos says. So in that case, I need to cleanse all of my apples. I need to cleanse all the wheat. I have to bring in the Mary Maid equivalent to do a job on my wheat field, right? And then once they do that, then I'm back in business. So the Hezek L'chayra is the L'chayra. I have to explain Tosfos, but Tosfos that I can, that's Loy Machal Yekarna. Mashena Kane, if he actually eat the wheat. Do we really understand Tosfos' Teretz? Is Tosfos' Teretz so different from his Kash and Rashi?
He says it's a man power.
Was it what?
He says it's a man power. Your time is money.
Okay. Who's more of a Cy Sims guy than Ellie? No? Yeah. Why couldn't you say the same thing? Kash and Tosfos. Why couldn't you say my field that requires manpower to clean it is monetized in it drops a little bit, right? My car before the car got hit was worth a certain amount. After it was hitting, it's worth less. Parenthetically, we're touching on a huge machlekes lamasa. The Chazanish and probably Reb Chaim, if you have to put names on it. And that is, but the machlokes, of a poskim. If Reuven hits, damages Shimon's car, does he pay how much it costs to fix the car, or does he pay the drop in value of the car? Right? Let's say the car already has taken 4 hits and one on each side, right? And then Reuven comes along and he smacks the car another time on one of the sides. So the loss of value of the car, because there's one more fender bender, not going to be so much. But the first fender bender went down a lot. Second fender bender, but to fix the fender, it's going to be a lot more money. So what's my chiyuv? Come back to that. That's the machlokes l'maisa, halacha l'maisa. Chazanish says you always pay the loss in value, not the amount it takes to fix it. That's usually on most posts as well. But that's just to, again, just to give more color to what we're discussing now. So now, coming back to this Tosfos, so we're asking it's the same kasha, we're just asking in different forms. We're asking in Tosfos. Tosfos says, ah, oh, I got it. Loi machal yekarna. That's everything's there. The fruit's there, the wheat's there. You're going to have to hire people, Eli says, to clean it up. All right. So I'm going to have to pay you whatever it costs. Everybody's going to pay you? Or do I go to court and I say, I had a field, it was worth $1,000. Now, no one's going to buy the field for $1,000. Because whoever buys the field either has grade D fruit, grade D wheat, or the FDA won't let him sell it altogether, or he has to hire merrymaids, whatever, to wash down all the wheat. I'm not going to be $1,000 for it. Whatever it is, 500.
The actual fruit is worth less than that, because now it's not fruit.
Okay, good. Good. So that makes the kasha tasting stronger.
No, because the fruit is still here.
What does here matter? What does it matter in the world that has it?
I can sell it now. Right now, I can sell it.
Okay.
But for Rashi, I can't. It's gone. So he said, that's Mechal Yekarna.
The question they're asking is the distinction, there is a distinction. But why is that distinction in the context of Hezek of any significance at all? The context of Hezek is Reuven damaged Shimon. Shimon now wants to recoup his damage. So Mali, if recouping the damage it means I have the apples and they're worth less, or I don't know the apples. Damage is damage.
Well, we didn't think there was a distinction until we learned about the Chalikon alone.
Correct. Okay. So what in the world of Hezek is there that would make that distinction significant? Why do I need a limud? I need a pasuk. Comes out from the sugya. Lu Yitzur, I would not have a pasuk of Mishalchei, so I would make a chiluk. Mehechetesa. I couldn't go to court. The animal was dirtied my fruit. I would be thrown out of court. Why? Because no pasuk Mishalchei Regel Shemachamor. How you talking? He damaged me. He damaged me as much as if he ate the fruit. So I have a nice distinction. The fruit here is not. That's a good philosophical distinction. Right? But why is that the thing in the world of Hezek? Right? That's the kasha. Right? Reuven hits Shimon's car. He can't say to Shimon, what's the big deal? He drove before, he drove it now. It's a fender has been. The guy gets a new car. He drives it off the lot. And Shimon goes in and says, the guy is Mamash, guy was Caleb, right? The first fender bender, yes, the new car. Right? So he tried to calm down. He says, what are you so nervous about? He can drive the car. I'll take you after the car. You give him a whole shmuz and hashkofa. Right? He can go to shul with the car. He can go to visit the car. What is it going to damage? Right? So he's going to say, you're right, Taka. He says, okay, I'll still go to insurance. Right? He'll still try to get the money back. I still owe him money. L'chayra. I'm something. So I'm a chanikarna. And halach l'maisa, we say, I am a chay. The question is that the havamina is significant enough to require a pasuk. You can ask the kasha, that's the essential kasha. Tosfos asks that kasha on Rashi in one way, and what I don't understand is I can ask that kasha on Tosfos. So comes the Rashba. Pirish Rashi, Shachas, Vehek Shuba Tosfos. Upirish Rashi, Vekoshal Pirushai. This is an example I mentioned some time ago. The Vital Shkinazi, when he wrote the Shinuch Lubetzes, so he put in headings for the Talmidim to fill in. So this is an example the Talmidim figured, I'll get away with it. They won't fill it in. Vik Shabbat Taisa, so see a Kashin. Pirish Rashi, Shabbat Kashin. Right, I guess it's a busy day. Vikoshal Pirusha. Now the Rashba. The Im Kain, Heyech Shalu Hashta, Dei Kimna Arvegel, Shane delay machal yikarna minolon. Fuhutzrachul lamda mi regel. The stomach le machal yikarna. A filoilum do mi regel. Mikol mokem. I raise it told the shane. Vinishacho be koisel and also. Ukin arminan lakaman. Told the shane my neo. Vinishacho be koisel and also. Vintin for Paris and also. So Tosfos asks, the Rashba points out. The emes is that this is Tosfos. This is the next line of Tosfos. Tosfos, when you see the next line of Tosfos, then you understand why Rashi didn't say Tosfos shot. Tosfos says, we see it inside of Tosfos. Eli Yeshlem Shetin for Peris Lamala. Mikol Mokoim, Kornel Kamla Tanifas Peris Lan also told her. Came with the passion to crow Arvi Bachilu Machal Yekarna. What's Tosfos squirming about him here? And so the Rashba explains.
It is Shane.
Is that?
It is Shane.
It is Shane, and? It's a told of Shane. So therefore what?
Why do you need to learn it out from
Rashba? Elo Yishan, the tin for Paris Lanosa. If that's the example of Loi Machal Yekarna, Mikol Mokum Kur Lekam Lativis Paris Lanosa told her.
Yeah,
right? Kevan the Pashta the Kra'ari Bachila the Machal Yakarna. Right? Rashi, Tosfos could be had one of two kashas. The way you're saying the kasha is that it's a tolda anyways. It will be a tolda. So what do we need a hekesh for? And if I'm right, if Rashi was right, then we have no indication that Achilas Shachas is a tolda. But Tanifas Paris and Mufurish are told of. So why didn't a Hekish? You could ask, I thought Tais asked a little bit differently. Mayor, let me say the what?
It's not the Paris Makra.
That Lechaira, the we're going to say later on that Tanifas Paris is a told of. But our Gemara is now saying Tanifas Paris is the of. Right? According to Tosfos, Tanifas Peiris is the Loi Machal Yekarna of Shane. The Ov of Shane is Machal Yekarna, Machal Yekarna. According to Tosfos, the example of Shane, the Ov of Shane, according to Tosfos, Tanifas Peiris. The Gemara calls it a Tolda. According to Rashi, it's Kavali. It's always the Ov is always Achila. There's an Achila Shemachalia and Achila Shemachalia. But according to Tosfos, Tanifas Peiris is the Ov. It's not the Ov. So Tosfos has to squirm and to say, well, but the Pasuk is still referring to Achila and Achila Shemachalia. You see it. So you see from this Or and Tosfos, he's understanding why Rashi could not say what Tosfos says. Rashi had to say that you have to find an Achila that is like Machal Yekarna. So that's the Koshal Pirushai. The Im Kain Heyech Sholu Hasha Deikim Narvegel Shein Delei Machal Yekarna Min Nolan. Since we asked the Kasha Hashtag kim the regal. Now that you said Vishilach refers to regal. Shein delay machalia karna menolan. Who tzuchu lelamda mi regal? The stomo le machalia karna. Rashbos is a little bit different than Rashi. We go back to the beginning of the sugya, and you want to explain why we would have a half a minute to say that Shein is Mechalia Karna to the Lashon of Ubir. So Rashba says not because of the Lashon of Ubir, but Stoma. Usually when Regel is usually destructive. Shein may or may not be destructive. The Stoma le Mechalia Karna afilu loylamdu me Regel Mikol Mokam Arvezet told the Shein v'neschachu b'koyslan osa. It's going to be a told anyways. Ukirmin al-Kam and told the Shein Maniu. Right? So the Rashba asked the Kasha the way that the barrel pointed at the Kasha. But it's two different ways of asking the Kasha against Tosa's Shita, which now explains to us why Rashi could not say what Tosa said. Because Tosa has to squirm out of it and say, but the Lashon is the Lashon of Achila, so therefore that's going to be the Av. Tosa is going to insist that the Lashon Akra teaches me Avos. And from the Lashon Akra, I'm going to define the Avos. So the Torah uses, Kadosh Baruch Hu used the Lashon of Achila because the Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted to teach me the parameter of the Av. So Tanifas Peiris is not going to be the Av. The Av is going to be Hanah, and then I'm going to expand it to even getting Hanah without that being the substance of the Hezek. Vim Toimar im loisha lamnanu miregel l'shein afogadlu machalye karna loy hayinu oisin told oisel tinfa peiris v'nischachu v'koyslan osa v'loy hoya told l'shein klal im kein afilu achshav kevin shalom dosa mishor afi eina tolda ela nichtav kein b'torim mufurish k'moyshe ein ata oise ozla me'atzma tolda de regel the av kishe shilcha kevin shi lomda mishen v'k'ilu nichtav shein mufurish b'toira al kein nirali k'divrei haram. Then the Rashba, I think, is asking the Kasha the way we phrased it. And therefore he says, I like Rashi's Pshat. How does he defend Rashi? Hold on, Effie. How does he defend Rashi's Pshat? I like Rashi's Pshat b'shachas v'machal yekarno kol shazor l'tvua. V'teida. Sha'af v'alei ha'tvuois v'shalchin shein v'ema b'sodo yisein k'dei lecho l'shachas. V'yachar kach titzmach ha'tvua v'titzlach yoyzer. Mikol mokoyim im bo ba'al ha'shachas l'shtalim. What is the Rashba's understanding? How did he prop up Shitas Rashi? What's Pshat in Rashi? How did he say Rashi? No. Beteda. Sha'af ba'alei ha'tvuois. Everybody, Mishalchin Shein Beim B'Sodei Seyin, K'dei Lechol HaShachas. If you are the owner of the field, you send your animal in to eat the Shachas. V'yachar kach tismach ha'tvua. And then it grows, V'titzlach yoyser. And it even becomes better and stronger, and grows faster. Mikol mokoy mimbo ba'al HaShachas, Lishtaleim, Mishtaleim lefi nizkoy. V'loy, Kol Mash Beimah Megaras Mikishir HaPeiris Karya Mechalya Karna. And this is not called Mechalya Karna. Mechalya Karna is not the loss in profit in the Peiris. So what is the Rosh Hashanah fixed up for us? The Rosh Hashanah is the same thing. Loi Mechalya Karna is the loss in the Peiris. Loss in Peiris is not called Mechalya Karna. Taisva says the loss of Shachas should be called Mechalya Karna. So Rashba says, no, it's not called Mechalya Karna. But how does the Rashba explain Rashi? How did the Mechazik Rashi? I'm not sure whether he is, whether it's a new Shita or whether this is Mamish and Rashi.
Because
it was,
there.
Who's that?
Didn't he bring him Tzias?
Yeah, but the...
It actually makes it better.
Yeah, but Rashi does not mention that at all. So I'm not sure, I'm not convinced. What does making it better do for you, though?
Your plus minus equals that. You're like, it's like
Zenana,
like you're.
So what's, all right, so what's, right, so what's the Chiddush in the Rashba? Go ahead.
It takes away the problem that Tosos had of Rashi. What Tosos had of Rashi was that Shachas, whether is both Matha or Karna, because it's still essentially
correct.
The same field. Once you say it, it becomes better, it's not the same field anymore, it's not the same crop.
Okay, very good. So the Rashba fixed up with Meyashiv Taisus, right? So now we know that Mechalia Karna is destroying. What's Loi Mechalia Karna?
Not permanent destroying.
And according to Rashba, could even be making it better. So now, what's the Chiddush of Mechalia Karna? Was that?
You
still chayiv. The Rav gave a fantastic, fantastic tzir for this. A fantastic tzir. So let's say a person has two original Picassos. Right? The exact same Picasso. Not the exact same. And then Reuven destroys one of the Picassos. So now the second one jumps up in value. So when Shimon takes Reuven to court and he says, "You destroyed my Picasso," he said, "But I didn't hurt your assets at all. Because your remaining Picasso might be worth more. Maybe you owe me money. Because you have the only surviving Picasso." So yeah, you can have a situation where Reuven can destroy something that belongs to Shimon, but Shimon doesn't lose any money. His assets have not gone down. So the Rav said, "So now, nope. Who's going to win the court case? Well, Shimon, what's going to happen if you're the Dayan? When you say, Yeshakayach Reuven, give him some more lighter fluid. Or would you say to Reuven, you're a Mazik, what are you talking about? Shimon comes out ahead. So the Rav said, that's what the Rashba is pointing out over here. But let's articulate the Chiddush over here. Right? We have three shitas over here. Rashi is distinguishing between the destruction of Shachas, which will come back. Loikit Chilov, it'll come back. That's why I don't know that, I'm doubtful as to whether the Rashba is saying something Pshat and Rashi. Because Rashi says it does not come back the same way. And the Rashba says, it may come back better. So we have a Rashi that says Shachas, the loss of Shachas is Loi Mechalia Karna because the tree comes back, because the fruit comes back, because the wheat comes back. That's what Daniel was defending. Taisva says that Shachas is Mechalia Karna because I lost the entire crop. Loi Mechalia Karna is when I damaged your property and your property is entirely recoverable. Entirely recoverable. You polish up these apples, I'm as good as new. You don't even have to tell the buyer, the vendor, that what happened. And Rashba says that is a told at the end of the day. So you can't tell me it's an ov. You can't tell me it's trapped in the sugya. Because the end is it's a told. Taisvis says I can say it anyways. Because I'll say that it's an ov because I'm a first b'kra. Tzorchi. And then the Rashba says the chiddush of Mechalia Karna is specifically in the case of Shachas, where the hezek is a where what this animal's done, people do all the time, and they do it because it actually turns out to be an improvement. Nevertheless. It's a very, very specific Lemachalia Karna. Right? Rashi is the easiest to fit into the words. What's the easiest to understand as a chiddush of the three shitas? What's the easiest to understand as the chiddush? Good.
The
Rashba, right? The Rashba is easy to understand. Why the Torah has to say when the nizik goes to court, if he hasn't lost in assets at all, can he still sue? You've taken something from me, but my net worth has stayed the same because of your action. Your action destroyed something, and your action raised my net worth. So machalya karna is when the net worth of the individual has gone down. So the Neil would say, I lost my apple trees. I lost the field. That's my net worth. When my net worth didn't go down, how they said this before, modern terminology is hard to understand, but when my net worth didn't go down, right? How did Moshe Rabbeinu teach the halacha? So I was nervous. He couldn't have taught this halacha, l'chorot not l'chorot, right? When my net worth didn't go down, right? But I lost an object. Can I sue for that object? Toys Mechadish, yeah. Mechalya Karna, obviously, if I'm worth less now, right? Obviously, I'm worth less right now. Having Kiddush, the idea of net worth, Lagavi, right? Al Tanai. So obviously, I can sue. But can I sue for something because you destroyed something that belongs to me, but I didn't really lose? Go ahead.
I'm not sure why the Rashba is such a big chiddush, because the Bala Sada still loses the ability to send his animals to do that, and now you sent yours. So there is the bill, like, he wants to feed his animals with the shachas, it's a plus plus.
Yeah.
Now by you sending your animals, the Anachanami's field is going to be better because now the shachas part is accomplished, but you use your animal and I want to use mine. And now it's feed my animals lunch.
There's an idea, if you do something for someone, it's bad, I'm going to be good for them, you can do it.
No, but he wants to feed his animals lunch, and now he has to feed them with something else because his shop has to go.
It doesn't matter if his net worth increases.
The value of the loss.
The word of here is, I'm not saying what you're saying is, what you're saying maybe is, I have to think about it some more, it's probably correct, but you can understand why I need a pasuk to tell me that says it. Why is it called, why is it grama?
Logical.
Right. At the end of the day, I can say you're worth the same as you were before. I'm not saying you're wrong at all. And that may be, we may have to formulate that time to zero on the chiddush, but at least we understand why there would be a need for a chiddush, a need for a post.
Actually, Rashba was beforehand that because he said, Sha'af Balayat Tuas Meshach and Shein Behema. It doesn't say Behema will say Hem. It just says Meshach and Shein Behema. The point is that they want it gone.
So the Rashba, according to the Rashba, we could say that the in Hezek, there are different ways to evaluate Hezek, and there are therefore different ways to say who is a mazik and and when the person is a mazik. So what the Torah is saying is that ultimate net worth or the value of the property is not the only way to call a person a mazik. But if you actually took something from me, even if it does not negatively affect my value and the value of my properties, I can say, wait a few months and you'll see. Right? Or take the Rashba a step further. Let's say right now you destroyed part of my property, so I cannot come back. This is not an uncommon case. Let's say Reuven is Mazik Shimon before the hurricane season. Right? And then 3 months later, after the hurricane season, you see, Simon's property was a goner anyways. So Reuven can't say, let's just wait for this court case until after the hurricane, and say, I see you, see if I did anything to you. And Rosh Bo says, no. What the Torah is pointing out is, Basher Usham. Right now, I did a Maisa Hezek. I have to pay for the Maisa Hezek. I can't say, let's wait and see whether, in fact, it's going to be a Hezek or not. I can't say, it could be that, I'm going a little bit on thin ice over here now. It could be that if all the forecasts are in right now, that my net worth hasn't suffered. It's a little bit, I'm not sure if I'm thinking that was correct. Nevertheless, you destroyed this property. So we begin to understand the chiddush of Machal Yekarna and Loi Machal Yekarna, because the Rashba is the easiest of the three shitas. But it gives us an opening into understanding the Sugya Bechlau. In other words, you see from this Rashba that Hezek is not the loss of value. Hezek is the loss of property, but not the loss of value. Right? In other words, according to what we're suggesting right now, is against the Chazon Ish. Right? If Reuven damages Shimon's car, and Shimon's car is entirely drivable, so is the other way around. If Reuven has a beaten up car, and Shimon puts another dent into it, so the fact that he put another dent, that is a Maisa Hezek. The fact that the car may not sell for any less, it's not a Lachal Maisa. We're not passing this way. But that's what we're pointing out over here. Pointing out over here is that is the Machayev, or is the definition of the Hezek based on the loss of value, or based on the fact that I did a Maisa Hezek, the fact that I damaged your property? So if we would not make any distinction between Machalia and Le Machalia Karnam, so that it's clear that we're only looking at the value. But since there is room to make a distinction between Machalia and Le Machalia Karnam, it means that the Torah looks at Hezek both in terms of the loss of value as well as in terms of compensating for a Mais Hezek, to make the property whole again. The Rav used to develop this idea from a Rambam. This is one of the Rambams that the Rav used to drill into us. We would do this Rambam at least if we were learning the Zikin, at least once or twice a year. Shtei sodois machartili. Le machartili loachas. Becheinim toan v'omer chotzer zu. Becheina choyfer besodach haberoi. Boirois Sichin uma orres with sidu. Barehu chayim lishalim. Bain shetonu shechofar. Vu oimer lechofarti. Oi shetonu shechofar shteima oros. Vu oimer lechofarti elo achas. Reuven digs into Shimon's field. Reuven says, you dug two tunnels in my field. Shimon says, I only dug one tunnel. What do we call the Nalocha?
Water.
Mota
makes us. Mota makes us. Mota makes us what? What's the din of Mota makes us?
You have to pay the whole thing.
No, if you don't make a shvua. You have to make a shvua. If you don't make a shvua, so then you have to pay the whole thing. So the Rambam says, a person who says, I dug in your field. And the taina is, you dug two holes. And I say, dug only one hole. Hareza nishba heses ala koil. There is no din of moedev in miktsas. He only has to pay to moedev mechaver all of arayim. So there is a halacha that there's no shvua on karka. Right? So the Rav used to say, based on Rav Chaim, Reuven damaged Shimon's property. Shimon is suing Reuven for $1,000. Reuven says, I only owe you $500. L'chayra moedem and miktsas. And if you don't pay, chayv to pay for everything. Rambam says, no. No moedem and miktsas. Ha-moedem and chayv l'raya. Dekeshvus heses. And you're... But it's not a mighty mixas. Shem Chaim said, why is it a mighty mixas? So he says, because if you were correct in your understanding that when Reuven damages Shimon and he caused a loss to Shimon, that the Hezek is seen as a loss in your value, then you're entirely right that this is mighty mixas. Because I damage your property. I put a hole into it. You claim I put two holes. I claim only one hole. You claim I lower the value of your property by 1,000. I say only 500 on a mixas. But the fact that the Rambam says it's not made of a mixas because there are no shvuas on karkam means the Rambam says when it comes to hezek, I'm not looking at value. I'm not looking at the monetary value. I'm looking at the object itself. Reuven was Mazik Shimon. Is the shvua on the karka or is the shvua on the loss of value? Lu Yitzuyer, the shvua was the loss of value. Then somebody evicts us. It must be that the shvua is on the damage done to the property. And there's a potter to shvus and karka. Shem Chaim said, Hilchos Toyin Benitin Perik Alochem Beis. From that Rambam, we can develop a yesoid in Hezek. That when Reuven is Mazik Shimon, the Torah is not looking at the loss of value of Shimon. The Torah is looking at returning the property to Shimon the way it was. When Reuven damages Shimon's car, Reb Chaim would argue against the Chazon Ish, we're not looking at the loss of value in the car. We're looking at, you damage Shimon's car, you have to make Shimon's car whole again. You have to be machzi the property. We're going to go a step deeper. It means Reb Chaim is explaining to us the essential distinction between Hezek and Gezel. Gezel is when I steal, I make you worth less. Hezek, what I'm saying, that's not entirely correct. Hezek is when I took a piece of your property and I defied your bailus on that property. And I undermined your bailus on the property. I have to restore your bailus on the property. It's a different parasha. So Reb Chaim explained that you see from this Rambam, again, the Yisoy that we're pointing out of here, a Yisoy that Reb Chaim developed from Shavuos, Miktsas, Moedim and Miktsas. The very fact that you see that when somebody argues about Hezek to Karka, that it is evaluated as Hezek to my property and not as the loss of value, shows us that the Parsha of Hezek is primarily focused on damaging property and on the obligation to restore that property. So the Rav said, once you understand this yesod, so then you can understand why there should be a distinction between damaging and destroying, between mechalya karna and loy mechalya karna. The Rav would begin by saying, you certainly can understand the distinction that the Rashba is drawing. While you might say that the Torah is being mechadish to me, it doesn't matter that I haven't hurt your net value, but I've stolen your Picasso. I've destroyed your Picasso. I destroyed your Shachas. But I need the Chiddush for that. If not for the Chiddush of Lemachalia Karna, I would say that the din of Hezek is a din of assets, din of value. The din of Mechalia Karna shows me that the din of Hezek is restoring property. All right? So now you have to work on that. Now you take the next step. How did that explain the Tos and the Rashi? And what is the machlekes between Tos and Rashi now? All right? We're going to tomorrow, we'll discuss tomorrow. So this is one of the great yesodos that the Rebbe would often teach us in Hezek.